Good morning.
Morning.
Today's scripture is from Matthew 14, 21 through 31. As soon as the meal was finished, Jesus insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. They were scared to death. "A ghost," they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." Peter, suddenly bold, said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come ahead." Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked in the water to Jesus. But when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, "Master, save me." Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
So this week, everybody got their, everybody got their Play-Doh. If you came in late, there's Play-Doh on the back row, if you need to get some. So this is going to be the last week we're going to have this Play-Doh, so make good work with it today. So I have been, this week, I have been spending me some time with Elmo. I have. How many of you here today have or have had an Elmo of your own? Please raise your hand if you have. Several of you have. I got mine this week because I needed me some Elmo energy and inspiration, okay? And why do I say that? Well, I say that because when Elmo first made landfall, I was an adult when the Tickle Me Elmo doll was the most sought-after toy since Cabbage Patch dolls. Y'all remember that? It was 1996, and I remember hearing all this hype about how every Santa's list included an Elmo, and how parents were rushing to the stores to get these dolls before they sold out, and they did sell out. The Sesame Street character became a beloved sidekick for many a child. In fact, I heard today, Deborah Nazero at the First Service told me that her baby granddaughter was babysitting for him last week, and 3 o'clock in the morning the child wakes up and she's rocking the child to sleep, and she asked for Elmo. But I didn't have a little one when Elmo first came out, and I was concerned about a whole lot of other things in my mid-30s, and so it really made no sense to me what the big deal was all about. But that all changed when I recently saw a documentary that featured the man who became the voice and the puppeteer behind Elmo. His name was Kevin Clash. And his story changed my perspective in a big way. You see, from the time he was nothing less than really magical in some ways, miraculous in some ways, and very inspirational. And the documentary, I just want to say, is much worth of your time to watch. So if you can, do take a look at it. Because it's a story about love and mentoring and dreaming big, ginormous dreams. It will inspire you, I promise. But before Kevin Clash came onto the Sesame Street family, the original creation and character of Elmo hadn't really taken off. Elmo was a red monster, and the guy who was playing him was more gruff-sounding and less likable than the cute, adorable Elmo we all know and love. But when Kevin came to Sesame Street, he brought Elmo to life with a beautiful mixture of what he later attributes to his father's and mother's kindness, love, sense of wonder, and joy that he experienced growing up. Isn't that a wonderful thing to bequeath to your children? But before long, Elmo starred in his own movies, like Elmo in Grouchland, which I watched this week. I had to see it. And it features a song entitled, Take the First Step. As I listened to that song, I loved the lyrics that say, take the first step, and soon you will see just how brave your heart can be. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about taking that first step on the journey that God's call to change beckons us to follow. That symbolizes God as the master potter of our ever-changing lives, molding us and reshaping us into being disciples of Jesus Christ. As we prepare our hearts this morning for what God might be saying to us, will you join me again in the prayer poem that we've been saying for the last few weeks? All you have to do is to repeat it after me. I am a piece of God's clay. I am a piece of God's clay. And God invites us all to play. And God invites us all to play. When things are different, we can say, when things are different, we can say, I can change. I'll make a way. I can change. I'll make a way. And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our brave hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. You who call us this day to take a step of courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so over the last several weeks, we've been exploring how we are being reshaped by God through change. And we've explored both the spirituality as well as the brain science that confirms that we as human beings were created for change, that meaningful change only happens from the inside out, and that everything changes. We've learned that we were never meant to remain in the same place for our entire lives. We are at a certain place where we're challenged to make a change, and that's the rub, right? Because fear takes hold or we feel stuck. And so today we're going to be talking about how we can gain courage to move beyond our fear and to get unstuck as we take a step forward. In our scripture lesson this morning, we hear again the familiar story of Jesus walking on the water. The disciples, we are told, are scared out of their wits, not so much from the waves, but from seeing Jesus walking on the water towards them, surely a ghost, since they have never seen anything like this before. But Jesus proves to them that it is indeed their trusted friend by saying a few things that they had heard from him before. For example, the words take heart showed up just a few chapters earlier in Matthew's gospel. And the words don't be afraid are something Jesus said and will continue to say to his disciples repeatedly. Because, of course, it was a kind of a scary time for them. John the Baptist had been beheaded. The growing crowds with all of their demands were sometimes overwhelming, not to mention the tension rising between Jesus and the religious leaders, all the makings of frayed nerves. But Peter needs to be sure that it's Jesus, so what does he do? Well, he does what Peter does best. He spouts off exactly what's on his mind at the moment, no matter how ridiculous it might sound. Peter says, well, if it's you, then do this. To which Jesus says, okay. Now, I wonder if Peter, like many of us, wanted to take back his words at that point. I mean, the moment just before you and I step into an unknown territory can be as frightening as anything we will ever do, and yet it is something that we must do at times. But here's the good news that we always need to remember. We won't do it alone. Let me say that again. We won't do it alone. Jesus is there. We may not always get it right, but the good news is Jesus is there. Had a conversation this week with a friend, a church member, about the will of God and God's control over the things that happen in the world. And we talked about how some folks just discount the idea that we really have actually, really have no responsibility at all for our words or our actions, because everything is under God's control after all. But you know, while I believe that God certainly has a will and a plan for the world and for your life and mine, I think that the focus that the Bible makes pretty clear is not that God is in control of everything. In other words, God is not some kind of master puppeteer that makes you or me do anything, but rather God has given us something called free will. Free will. That means you and I have the opportunity to make a choice about what we do or don't do in our lives. And some of those choices are not the wisest choices. Amen? Right? And so our free will can lead us to consequences, not only for our lives, but also for the lives of others around us, sometimes even impacting the world itself. When Peter says, "If it's you, call me to come to you," Jesus says, "Come on." And Peter walked on the water for a bit. But you remember what happened next, right? Peter looks down and he sees the wind and the waves, and what happens? Fear takes over. And God didn't keep Peter from sinking, right? God didn't keep Peter from sinking. He's going down. But the good news for Peter and for our lives is this. In the midst of his fear and in the midst of the consequence of his action, Jesus was still there to help him. And that is Jesus' promise to you and to me. I will be with you always. I won't make you do anything, but I'm going to be with you always. I'll be with you when you make the right choices, and I will be with you when you make the wrong ones. I will be with you to help when you decide to call on me. Now let's think for a moment, as we have each week of this sermon series, about what might have been going on in Peter's brain from the research that Reverend Lily Brock has been doing. She reminds us that for a moment, Peter actually did walk on water. And here's what she says about that. It's actually something that made me think of this story in a different and new way. Ha ha. She said, "In risking change, we find out that we are capable of far more than we ever imagined." Think about that. Not taking a risk because of fear or apathy or just not wanting to try leaves us stuck and limited and experiencing less than God's intention for you and for me. I love the title to John Ortberg's book called "If You Want to Walk on Water, You Gotta Get Out of the Boat." I love that. In order to experience the abundant life that Jesus offers, we've got to be willing to take a risk for God's change and transformation to happen in our lives. The last stages of the change cycle are characterized, I'm going to show you the whole thing here, as the green zone. You notice that we started out in stages 1 and 2 in red, which was about loss and doubt. And then we moved into stage 3 and 4, yellow, of discomfort. And in the middle of discomfort and discovery, there's a danger zone. And then we move into the green zone, where we integrate our learnings, where we deepen our understanding, where confidence is raised. And as a result of all of this, you and I become more satisfied and focused and generous with our lives. In other words, you and I become more free to experience the life God wants us to have. And this is one of the most important truths revealed in the movie Elmo and Grouchland. Elmo, I don't know if you've seen that movie before. I highly recommend it as well. It's just great. Elmo is going through a process of change in his life that results with a new understanding of himself and others, and the importance of having friends around him, friends that encouraged him as he made his way through the hard journey to retrieve his beloved blanket from the mean Mr. Huxley's castle. And one of those encouragers that he made along the way on these travels was a caterpillar. A caterpillar who said, I may not look like it yet, but I'm getting ready to be a butterfly. And then he said, you've gotten this far, Elmo. You just need to look inside. You know, another word for change is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis, something that begins one way that has the potential to change into something different, something more, if we look inside and we believe that we have been created by God for purpose, that you and I can become formed into something spectacular, something beautiful, something good for God's kingdom. Metamorphosis. My mom once described the change that happened in my 20s as the metamorphosis of Susan. It was when I left Florida and moved to Texas, not knowing how it would lead to new understanding of God and God's call on my life. It was a big change, even though I was still far, far, far from perfect. But what was really wonderful during that period, as I reflect on it today, were all of the people who encouraged me. My mom, my grandmother, Professor Tony Craven, Myrna, and always, always, always Ron Diamond, my husband. But they weren't the only ones. There were many wonderful folks who encouraged me along the way, church members and friends, and those who God would place on my path to help me along the way of discovery. And I am so grateful for each and every one of them. And of course, the process of change has continued in my life as I have taken on the role of mentor and leader and encourager of others. The change cycle, as we've been learning, continues to come around and around and around again, and I am going through change even as we speak, you know, at this time in my life as I'm moving into true eldership in my life. It's all changing, and it's good, and it's hard, and it is filled with God's love and grace. So the change cycle, as we have been learning, continues that, and that's the reason it's in a circle, because it continues again and again in our lives. And we continue to be reshaped as we learn more about ourselves and about our about God and about this amazing journey, a journey that isn't easy, but is filled with wonder and grace and more than you and I can ever imagine. And sometimes, guys, we don't understand it when it's happening. We can only look back on it and see how God has changed our lives in ways we could never do on our own. So here's my question for us today. How's that sound to you as you are hearing it? Are you at a point in your life where a change needs to happen, or maybe you are in a season of change? Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you are wondering if this is all there is. There's no more ahead of me. Maybe you're filled with fear or worry or doubt. Maybe you're burned out or low on hope or willingness to change. But let me ask you this. Are you willing today to be open to more? Are you open to being filled with faith, hope, and love that God offers you as you face the challenges and the changes that may be hard? Because here's God's word for you and for me today. We can face change not with fear, but with courage and hope. And why is that? It's because we are not alone. Jesus is with us. He is with us in spirit, and Jesus with skin on, that's people, that's you and me who walk alongside each other, is with us too. We are not alone. And so we can have the faith to take a step forward. Maybe a baby step, but a step forward. We can be encouraged, and we can become encouragers to others, which means being given and then living with the courage we need. Encourage. It comes from the French root cœur, meaning heart. the seat of the emotions. If you and I can have the heart, in other words, the courage to take the steps toward change and then be encouragers of one another, this is the meaning of community. So if you feel some stirrage, then take a step toward courage with Jesus and with each other, and you will see just how brave your heart can be. And the people of God said, amen,
amen.
And amen.